And ladies and gentlemen, we are live from the spacious room, not really, of wherever we are currently recording from. I am the stubborn SOB Vitamin E Man, aka Emmanuel. Sean Vander joins us.
Of course he does.
Via a supposedly very empty church.
Wait, what?
That was awesome.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you.
I've been giving him crap about it, and just because I don't want it to go to his head, and then he starts using it in every episode.
Oh, he should.
Oh, he's gonna now. Now he's gonna. And joining us, ladies and gentlemen, is one Michael Harding.
Hello, everybody.
Also known as Mike Kerosene.
That's me.
From Frantic Romantic.
And well, it is a pleasure to be here. So thanks for having me on, yeah.
I'm looking at my reflection of your glasses right now. I can see my hair on those. Oh, there I am.
Yeah. You gotta wonder, like, okay, how are you getting these cool people on the show lately, Emmanuel? I could never do it. I mean, I could never do it.
I almost feel like that's a backhanded compliment. Like who do you know, E-Man?
God! How do
why,
you do
this? Why are these cool people your friends?
Yeah, last week, Slammin' Sam, and like now, Frantic Romantic. How is this? How? Who do you know?
It's all about the networking, man. That's how you do it.
Well, I think
bribing these people.
I mean, E-Man and me, we shared a very stressful yet fun music video shooting experience.
Two.
You know, so two of them. Yeah, that's right. Two of them. wait, what was, because we did Lobo. What was the other one?
Ready to Go. But I was kind of more so in the background doing stuff like,
gotcha.
Like going on the computer, like getting you guys set up as far as
that's right.
performing. Like, you know what it was? It was I went there, and then everybody else was there, and everybody was dressed like more like beach setting. And here I am coming in with a Spider-Man shirt and jeans. I'm like, I don't fit here. This isn't, this doesn't work. So I was like, I'll help out. I'll stick in the background. And
well,
I
you
like doing stuff in the back, like.
Went, you like, definitely did. Around. You definitely did help out on both of those immensely. So thank you.
Yeah,
it's much appreciated.
Anytime.
Cool. Okay.
Anytime. Actually, Sean, this is the band that I told you I also did backing vocals, like harmonic vocals.
Oh, okay. Right. Cool.
Yeah, I jumped on like I think two tracks.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe Someday and.
It was Someday. It was Someday.
Oh, what was the other one? At Night, maybe. Was it At Night? I don't know. You've done a lot for us, so thank you. We appreciate it.
I just have fun, dude. Like, I get to hang out with friends, and I get to pull out my little camcorder. It's funny because everyone has like the. I think at one point everyone was like doing cell phone ones and like cameras that had video functioning.
Oh yeah,
and I'm just like, hey, I've got something I can bring. Like, just started like to me it was more so of like a very much a DIY project.
Yeah.
With whatever we can get our hands on, and then just go from there. And they came out really good.
You're talking about Lobo or Ready to Go?
Lobo,
yeah. Yeah. It's funny, there was footage that you shot where you were up on a wall.
Yeah.
And originally what I was going to do, I don't think I've even told the band this. For everybody at home, sorry if this has no context, but real quick. With that footage that you shot, down on us, what I was originally going to do is I was going to take part of the Lobo song and turn it into like 8-bit sounding.
Oh, chiptune.
Yeah, I was going to turn it into chiptune and just have that footage, but like in black and white. Like it's like CCTV footage, but then I ran out of time to do it.
Ah.
That'll be in the extended.
The extended DVD.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, it was really too really cool because like you even let me do a Hadouken on you.
Oh yeah,
and,
yeah,
and it actually it does show up very briefly in the music video.
It does.
I thought it was going to be cut on the cutting room floor. I was like, oh my god, there it is.
Yeah. Now that video was a lot of fun to edit because by the end of the video, it's just pure chaos. Yeah, it was great.
Sean, you look bewildered.
Okay, no. Just tired, man. A huge headache last night. Couldn't really sleep.
Oh, geez.
I think I got like 4 hours sleep, and I don't feel that much better.
Were you doing more video editing last night?
I started a little bit of our second episode, which we haven't put up the second episode of Betrayal. Just laying some of the groundwork down. And I thought to myself, hey, you know, this is a good place to stop at 3 a.m. And I went, all right, cool. And man, so for some reason, after I finished, I was like, you know what? I should probably bone up on the topics today so I can sound professional at what I'm talking about today. And that turned into not watching one of our topics, which we'll get into. Because I haven't watched one of these movies that we're probably going to talk about. I'm just not going to spoil it. And then thought, you know what would be fun? And God knows why I did this. I'm like, I would love to watch some really old school 1966 grainy ass TV show of the Green Hornet. I could not help myself but watch Green Hornet. And I'm like watching it and I'm like, man, I am entranced by two things about this show. One, about how Bruce Lee is just in this and he's, you know, he's straight Bruce Lee, but it's like, man, he's not in a lot of this. He talks maybe a few lines, does a lot of martial arts. And they're like, oh, that kind of sucks, but it was the 60s, right? But
yeah,
like,
right. Yeah.
And then
product of its time.
And then I'm like, ooh, the Black Beauty's so dope. Why? Like, there's so much you can do to that car to make it sound way more badass, but probably not in the 60s. I'm like, now a Crown Vic would be like, ooh, if I just put like a really deep carburetor in it and just be like, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yeah, then it would sound real badass.
Simmer down there, Vin Diesel.
Yeah, and I'm like, ooh, that'd be cool. And then I'm like, whoa, can I try and sleep with this headache? Because I was just trying to calm down because of a headache. I'm like, man.
I love how descriptive you are about events that happen after 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Well, that's the witching hour, isn't it?
Yes, it is. The dead hour.
I can't help keep those hours, though. My actual profession forces it upon me. So
fair enough.
Yeah.
Body's attuned that way.
I can't help it.
All right. Well, we got some topic. Gentlemen, you guys want to jump on into these things?
Yes.
Absolutely.
All right.
Okay,
so,
here we go.
Let's go ahead and start off with the spoiler for the movie that Sean hasn't watched, and that is Mad Max Fury Road.
Nope, haven't watched it. Haven't seen
it. Oh, man.
I know. Everyone says that very same thing. Why haven't you watched it? I'm like, well, I mean,
hey,
came out in theaters, and I just didn't go and see it. So I was a real hard time in my life and just was like, I didn't see it.
Think of it this way, though. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm jealous of you because I wish I could go back to a time where I hadn't seen it yet. And then see it for the first time.
Yeah, everyone says it's really good.
Actually, I had that really same thing with a friend who just got introduced to Legos.
Oh,
wait, what? I wish you could go back in time and experience.
Like I told her, I was like, I'm genuinely jealous because you're an adult right now and you get to experience the feeling of playing with Legos.
Yeah.
The news outlets have been reporting that George Miller will be working on a prequel movie for Furiosa, who is, I don't know. I want to say the main character. I know the whole idea is Mad Max, but the whole movie is primarily more Furiosa more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's going to be a prequel series. Charlize Theron will not be coming back for the role. George Miller, while he is impressed with the technology to make people look younger on movies, he still doesn't think it's where it needs to be in order for him to actually get away with it on his end.
Okay.
Yeah.
New actress.
I guess rumor has it that it's this actress from that show Killing Eve, Jodie Comer. But she's really good. We happen to watch that show and, you know, she was sort of the main villain of the show that was the serial killer. And Yeah, I think it would be a good choice if it's true that.
I feel like if you can portray a serial killer on anything, you've got really good acting range.
Yeah.
Because you got to go into some dark places for that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's great that we're finally getting a follow-up to Fury Road. Yeah, I won't lie. I'm a little bit bummed that it's not like the continued adventures of Tom Hardy's Mad Max. But at the same time, you know, after four movies of that character, like, I'm totally fine moving on from that.
Yeah, let's expand the universe a little bit. See what else we find.
Yeah. Have you guys watched the other three?
No. I've seen, like, bits and pieces here and there when I was growing up. But yeah. I never was, like, placed in front of a TV with a VHS cassette and said, like, we're doing this now. It never happened, unfortunately. But there's plenty of scenes that I remember. I'm just like, wow. Like the little kid with the boomerang.
Oh.
Like, wow. That guy,
fingers off. Like, you shouldn't have caught that.
You shouldn't have tried that. What made you think that was going to be a good idea?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like Batman's Batarang or anything, but yeah, you lost your finger, sir.
Yeah.
It's a post-apocalyptic. Everything's going to be sharp.
Well, I guess in the post-apocalyptic world, that must just have been a Tuesday then.
Yeah.
It's an interesting trilogy.
Hold on, here we go. Let's screen share the story here. Hold on.
Okay.
There we go. All right. Cool. Go for it. So Furiosa back. George Miller discusses the next Mad Max movie. All right. Cool. So all right. Discuss, gentlemen.
I had heard a rumor that, and of course I have no idea if this is true, but I heard a rumor that Tom Hardy and Charlize Theron didn't really get along on that set.
Oh no, that's no rumor at this point. Like, they've both come out and have said, like, yeah, like that they were
not
like that fight scene that happens between them. If there is any scenes where it was both of them and not a stunt double, they probably didn't pull their punches as much as they should have.
Jesus.
Yeah, they were going at it, like, back and forth. And
I kind of feel like Tom Hardy was probably the problem in that, you know what I mean? Like, in that situation, I if I was to put it on anybody, I probably would put it on Tom Hardy.
You know, it was actually contentious for everybody there. It was Tom Hardy, Charlize Theron, and George Miller, because this is what Charlize Theron says. She says that she would go and she would try to get clarification on what they wanted her to do or what they were trying to express in the scene. And she would go to George Miller, and then George Miller would start going into these weird tangents. Not like crazy old man tangents that don't really go anywhere. Like, they were actually like funny anecdotes or whatnot. And then like, she would walk away, like, you know, I guess smiling because that was a funny anecdote. And then she realized, but I never got my answer.
Oh yeah.
So, like, it was always the sense of confusion of what she needed to do. And then with Tom Harding, it was just, like, trying to develop some sort of chemistry. Like, there was never a time where they actually sat down and tried to work out what they wanted to do for the scenes or anything. And I think Charlene even says that it was almost intimidating to try to approach Tom Harding. And it wasn't in the sense of he was trying to project that. It's just kind of how he looks like. You look at the guy and he's just like, he's a very serious method actor.
And like, the interesting thing about Tom Hardy is he's very naturally intense, you know, and I mean, I'm pretty sure he's had a pretty intense history with
film.
Film, yeah.
In general.
Sure.
So yeah, I mean, you know, I wouldn't peg him as, like, hard to get along with, but definitely intense, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, the way he played Mad Max is I feel like he watched whatever those three other movies and he just said, okay, I'm just going to do exactly
what the character
and Mel Gibson did with this and just mumble my way through the whole thing. So, yeah, I mean, he basically played it off to be as much of that character as he could.
Yeah. And again, no, like, lasting animosity towards it. They pretty much squashed it, but.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And if you think about it, too, everything was shot on location.
Yeah. Well, so that movie, I mean, I feel like that movie, I heard somewhere that that movie, I mean, it took like 8 years to shoot, or not to shoot, but at least 8 years to put together.
Holy shit.
And like, it cost them $250 million. And basically they rigged a ton of cameras onto a bunch of different vehicles. And then like, I mean, I forget how many hours of footage they had, but basically it was up to George Miller's wife to go through whatever, you know, I don't know if it was like 1600 hours of footage or something, but just to go through like a ton of footage and have to whittle it down to a you know, 2 hour long movie.
In sickness and in health.
Yeah. Jeez. It was crazy.
What the hell movie takes 8 years to film?
Well, there was a bunch of things that ended up happening that ended like up ever. Stopping production.
Right. They had to stop production a few times.
Yeah. I think the September 11 attacks was one of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like they had to stop production for it altogether after that happened.
Hmm. George Miller's an odd cat. He was slated to do a Justice League movie back in, I think like 2006.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys heard about that, but they were going to film in Australia. They had started casting, and it was just going to be George Miller's Justice League movie. And for whatever reason, it fell through.
You know what? That was also the same thing with Mad Max. And I remember that was one of the reasons why, was because it was around the time that the U.S. hit its depression. So the American dollar just tanked. So we had the money at one point in order to start shooting in Australia, New Zealand. And then after all that happened, it's just like, well, your money's not worth much.
Right.
Like, well, literally, that's what it was. Your money is not worth much to whatever currency Australia has. And it's just like, well,
yeah, get out of
the back burner for right now.
You're fired.
Right. During that late thousands housing crisis recession era, I remember there was like, 1 year in particular where I think movie productions, it went from, I think like 650 productions for that year down to 450.
Damn, 200 movies, huh?
So it was slashed basically like by a third. it was crazy.
Yeah, what could have been?
Similar times now with what's happening with live action. Actually, live action is live action's in a bad spot right now because no one can film. No, you know,
how do you choreograph a John Wick fight scene when you got to be 6 feet apart? Like,
right.
Animated, sir.
We can get the in-between. They did that with The Matrix. Everybody remember the Animatrix?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what's happening now is there's a lot of these companies that are trying to scoop up as much animation as they can because they're like, oh shit, well, animation is
kind of the way to go at the time being.
COVID proof. Yeah. But yeah, it's a very weird time.
Yeah. I've seen like voice actors go in their closets to record their scenes. So
yeah,
it's absolutely doable, man.
Yeah, super weird.
But yeah, so it's funny because I always like to hear the behind the scenes stuff when it comes down to what's going on in movie sets. Like sometimes you hear about these situations where in Mad Max's case, like it was very walking on eggshells. And then there's other ones where, you know, I did bring up John Wick, like everybody that was on there just had the time of their lives. Like,
seems that way, yeah.
Like they got to train in martial arts so that they can then do it in movies, and then just everybody has just the nicest things to say about Keanu Reeves.
Oh yeah,
like it's always fun to like to go and see like, wow, what's going on behind the scenes. Like we get to see this really cool movie, which I'm already grateful for, but then to also find out that hey, it just turns out that Tom Harding has a very very menacing demeanor, but is actually a pretty cool guy.
Like, sure.
Does that mean I should go and say hi, or should I try to get a picture with the guy? Like, hey, buddy, you want to do a selfie? And
you know, Tom Hardy isn't the type of guy that I would think would have resting bitch face, but apparently everybody thinks so. I mean, honestly,
him and Christian Bale, I feel, have a lot of similarities in that regard, where it's sort of like you got these two great actors that treat what they do very, very seriously. And you can tell that they're probably like fine people in real life, but you can also tell that they probably have like a lot of intense anger also, you know.
I feel like the things that they do for their movies take a toll on them.
Yeah.
And they as hard as they try not to, it does kind of carry over into their personal lives.
Oh yeah. Christian Bale, I feel like at any moment I'm going to read a headline saying like, "Oh yeah, he died because like he wanted to slim down to whatever 90 pounds for a role or something." You know, and it's like I don't know if you guys have heard about it. Have you seen The Machinist?
I haven't seen it, but I have seen the images. Oh, my okay. God.
So in order to slim down to that weight, which I think was like, I don't know, 100 pounds or something, basically what he did is he just said, okay, I'm going to smoke cigarettes and eat apples for like 3 months.
Holy shit.
And that was his diet. And it got to a point where he wanted to slim down even further than that. And they're like, dude.
Stop it. Eat a sandwich. Yeah. Okay.
The production was like, dude,
some bread.
You got to fucking stop this because you're going to die. And he's like, oh, okay. And then three months after that movie wrapped, he started filming Batman Begins. 3 months. Oh, how does somebody do that? Like, you know, and then like he ballooned up to be Dick Cheney, and then
scary balloon up too, man.
Right? Well,
and then
he slimmed back down to play the Ford versus Ferrari role. Like, how does he? It's losing and gaining that much weight in that little amount of time. It's gonna fucking destroy your body.
Yeah, like, that is not healthy in any way, sense or form.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean a tangent.
No, absolutely. This is what we do.
Yeah, it is what we do, man. It really is. What the hell? Well, I mean, You know what he needs? You know what he needs? He needs to be in a role like Mallrats or something, where it's like, yeah, dude, don't, just stop it. Just show up to set, have a good time. You know, you don't need to go so method that. It hurts us. All right?
Do you think Christian Bale and Kevin Smith can actually work together?
I don't.
Probably not.
Because you said Mallrats, dude. You opened the door to the question.
I don't know, man. He just that. Yeah, because everything I've ever seen the guy in, he's always he takes it method like real seriously, and a lot of times method acting it doesn't pay off sometimes. But I guess it takes I guess it's the actor that really. That it really matters. So I don't know, man.
I feel like Christian Bale probably he probably likes Kevin Smith movies, but he probably would never want to be in one.
Yeah
probably not. He's got standards. I mean, I don't know, man.
there's certain movies that I feel like I'll never see Christian Bale in, like romantic comedies or really like comedies of any kind.
Okay.
I'll never see Christian Bale in I'll never see Christian Bale crack a joke.
Okay, since we were talking about Mad Max, let's go into that one. Do you think we'll ever see Tom Hardy do a Kevin Smith movie? Because you were saying they have like the same type of energy, the same type of demeanor, but two different people.
See, I don't think he would.
No?
I don't know. There's something interesting about because they're both – I don't know if they're both British, but they're both what is Christian Bale? Is he Welsh? I don't know. But there is something interesting about how acting is perceived in other countries, right? And especially with like that region, like Britain and around Britain, you know, acting seems to be treated a bit more seriously, right? It is treated more like
theater
acting, yeah. You know, they're, you know, there's Shakespearean actors and there's, you know, there's a lot of theater acting. And I feel like a lot of them kind of grow up in that school, you know? So like asking them to do something like, you know, oh, hey, you want to pop up in Van Wilder or something? You know what I mean? It's just kind of like, well, I didn't really get into the business to do that.
What if they actually did that and realized they're actually really funny?
Oh yeah. And there's people that have, like, Patrick Stewart, you know, as an older Patrick Stewart, You know, like he was cast as like the poop face in the Emoji Movie. You know what I mean?
We don't
like,
talk about that movie on this podcast.
I've never seen it.
No, no, we do. You want to know why? Because you have to know about the bad movies before you can talk about the good ones.
Okay? Right.
And Patrick Stewart being the poof emoji in Emoji Movie, I mean, honestly, dude, he's just having fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which is what, like, really method actors could do to be like, hey, look, all right, dude, if you just want to make $200,000, just phone it in. I don't know, man. Just I don't fucking care, dude. Just for your health, man.
And, yeah.
But you got to think that it's like, no, my integrity, my whole my career. It matters.
I am an actor.
Well, and there's a chance, right? That like, okay, Christian Bale, if he lives to be 70. There's a chance that he, you know, he'll turn into a jollier version of himself.
Yeah.
And then he can like, play.
I don't fucking care what the hell I'm in.
He can play a poop.
Yeah.
You know, I was actually surprised when I started hearing Patrick Stewart in Family Guy. That's where he was just like, you would hear this dignified voice say some like random dumb things.
That's just
like,
steady work for him though, man.
Yeah. I mean clearly Seth MacFarlane's a huge Star Trek fan, so so there's a reason for it. But I think once they like did the guest spot, they're just like, hey, we got this line we want you to say, wanna give that a go? And he probably saw it and he's like, that's funny. Let's go with this.
Yeah. God, I'm trying to think of what
now he's Snyder. The inner Snyder. Monologues voice for Joe Swanson's little girl.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's just hear that, it's just like, it's so weird because
Patrick Stewart, you know, there's very few celebrities that I would actually want to meet, you know, because I feel like most of them are kind of weird psychopaths or sociopaths that I'd rather not meet, but Patrick Stewart, I feel like if I was to meet him, I would just be I would be enchanted, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has that presence about him, you know.
He's knighted and everything. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he is Sir Patrick.
He is Sir Patrick Stewart.
He's Sir Patrick.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, Tom Hardy, I don't know what – I'm trying to think of a role he can be in where it's goofy and it's like, I don't know. Put him in the Lego Movie. I don't know, man. I mean,
that would be a good start.
Yeah.
So that he could, like, he doesn't have to worry about like facial emotion or anything. It's more so of the voicing that they want, the pitch, the tone. From there kind of go up, you know?
When he was still up and coming, I remember him being in a movie. I think it was him and Chris Pine and Reese Witherspoon.
Okay.
Where it was like two spies fighting over this woman. This was like maybe 10 years ago or something.
I gotta look this up.
He has done comedy, but I think like, you know, especially when he played Bane, and then when he played Mad Max, and you know, when he played Mad Max, I think he sort of left that realm, right?
Yeah.
And I think Inception was kind of a breakthrough role for him too. Like Inception was like when everybody started talking about him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the first major thing that I remember seeing him in.
Speaking of Patrick Stewart and Tom Hardy, I don't know if you guys remember this, but there was that movie Star Trek Insurrection. I don't know if you ever saw it. It was the last of the Next Gen movies.
I didn't see that one, no.
And it was real bad, right? Most of the Next Gen movies were unfortunately pretty bad. But Picard gets cloned in that movie. And there's a younger version of Jean-Luc Picard, and it's played by Tom Hardy.
Oh, really?
Like a real young Tom, like a 21-year-old Tom Hardy, yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to screen share this. Hold on, let me go back here. Here we go. So we're Vomiteers. I'm going to IMDb looking up for Tom Hardy here, and of course Mad Max Fury Road thing shot pops up and everything, which yeah, all right.
Yeah.
His whole filmography, I can't think of anything goofy the guy has been in. Like, well, this Dirk Unk.
Oh yeah,
I can I can get a big old laugh at this movie right here.
Oh, dude, yeah. I forgot he was in Venom.
Did you really?
Yeah, there's no way that was going to happen.
That movie was hilarious, though. Like, I mean, maybe unintentionally, but, like, the way he played that role, man, I was just laughing my ass off.
Stuart Little. There we go. He's in Stuart Little. That's lighthearted.
No, that's not Stuart Little. That's Stuart A Life Backwards. Stuart Shorter.
All right. That's never mind.
Oh, God. Band of Brothers. There's the Star Trek Nemesis.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Have you guys seen Venom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
the movie was.
It's a thing.
It should have been rated R. Let's just say that. I think it would have played a lot better if it was rated R.
Yeah.
All right. I mean,
And then there's also something to be said about, like, okay, we're making a Venom movie, but it has nothing to do with Spider-Man. So what the fuck are we doing?
Preaching to the choir. Yeah. They'll fix it, or it'll get fixed in the future, which is fine. All right. I don't know, man.
Since we're talking about it, you know, fixing stuff in the future.
Sure.
We've got some more news about Justice League, which was announced that
the Snyder
cut will be released, as far as, I guess, just to try to get a lot of people to start subscribing to HBO Max.
Right.
Because that's where it's going to be appearing in 2021. God.
HBO Max is aggressive, man. HBO Max is like pulling out a bunch of punches. But anyways, continue.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, they got the wallet for it, so.
Yeah.
They totally do.
We got the Justice League movie, and it was what it was.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, we had this weird mishmash of Joss Whedon and Zack Snyder. And this was their hate child. I don't even call it a love child. It was their hate child. Because we got this weird, like, it was almost like the Marvel DC amalgamation. If you guys remember that back in the 90s.
Amalgam.
Amalgam series.
Hey, I know Malcolm. It's great. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Dark Claw. You guys remember Dark Claw? It was Wolverine
Super Soldier,
and Batman.
The Hyena.
Yeah.
Like, we got all those weird ones, man. Thank you, Sean.
No problem.
That's what I kind of felt like with Justice League was, because even though he only worked in the first, as far as Avengers anyways, the first two Avengers movies, he's like the Avenger guy. He's like a Marvel guy through and through, even though he's not. He's not.
Who, Snyder?
No, Whedon.
Joss Whedon.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's not like he ever said, like, I'll never do a DC movie. I mean, clearly that's not the case, because he jumped on and finished up Justice League, but it kind of had that feel to it. And we got it where we had like those supposedly dark, serious moments. And then you have Aquaman sitting on the lasso of truth. I guess that was a weird tonal shift there.
No, like, that sort of stuff is fine. If you want to sprinkle in some humor into a Justice League movie, then fine. You could do that. That's okay.
It's not necessarily the idea of, like, the humor of it, but it was, like, the taste and the type of humor. Like,
no,
you look at
right.
that, you look at that, and you're like, that is such a Whedon moment right there.
Okay, yeah, no, you can have little comedic gags, like gags in a Justice League film, and have it be fine. Like, if you've watched, you saw Justice League Dark just as much as I have, Emmanuel. And for that whole dialogue of Green Lantern talking to Batman, like, so what's your powers, right? And you kind of boil it down to, like, wait, are you just some clown in a costume? And he looks at him, smiles, and he goes, oh, my God, you are. And then looks down. He doesn't have his ring on, and his powers go off, and Batman has the ring in his hand. How the hell did you do that? And he goes, that's a really interesting trinket. Hands it back to him, right? And he goes, what the fuck? He's like, yeah, I'm not some asshole in a fucking suit, jackass. But little things like that is fine if you want to put it in a Justice League movie. But
I guess what it is, it's more so just basically what we've got with a lot of the Snyder movies, and then to have that in there. Again, I'm not saying it's necessarily bad. I'm just saying it kind of sticks out. It sticks out a lot.
Okay, here's the thing, guys. I could probably write, I could write a 20-page essay and probably rant for 5 hours about the DC movies.
Me too.
You know, before I start like throwing in my 2 cents about this, I want to make sure I'm not like offending anybody. You know what I mean? Like,
not me. Nope.
Here's the thing. If okay.
because I feel like you're gonna go on the rant, and I do want you to go on the rant.
Okay.
But I want to present a question to you guys before sure. you do that. Okay.
Okay.
What is it that is so enticing about a Snyder cut of the movie?
Not a goddamn thing.
I agree.
When we've seen all of his other, I'll stick to the DC properties because, admittedly speaking, I liked 300. I did enjoy that
sure,
movie.
Me too. Oh yeah.
That was
even,
a cool
even
movie.
Watchmen. Even
Watchmen.
Yeah,
for the
even
ending.
Watchmen.
Like, I know people were really bummed about the ending, but I thought they did a really good job with that. So
I
I'll just stick to, like,
the
DC EU universe, even though Watchmen kind of falls in DC now. What is it that people are hoping to see with the Snyder Cut? What is it that they believe will redeem the entire series? Because people have been asking for this since the Whedon version came out.
I can answer that in one sentence. The reason why people want to see the Snyder Cut is because they're unhappy with the Snyder Whedon cut, and because they don't know what the Snyder Cut is, they're hoping that it was a much more focused effort than
so because
yep. what
because
they
it's
got.
An unknown. There's that possibility yeah. that it could be a good thing,
right?
That's it. That's it right there. That is exactly why that exists right now.
And I'm also going to say the Snyder Cut
isn't going to save the movie.
It's
or the franchise.
Because I know maybe it's mentioned that he's going to bring the gang back together and do pickups, right? So he's going to sort of course correct and revise his original idea. But if we were to get that original idea instead of the Whedon pickups, I'm guessing that it would have been a worse movie.
I think so too.
Yeah, me too.
I don't want to say that. I really don't. But from what we got, it's just like maybe by looking at it now, he can say like, well, I definitely don't want to do this because somebody else did that and it didn't work out quite as well. But I don't see anything particularly enticing about getting a Snyder cut of this.
Well, and what frustrates me the most is people should already know the answer to this with the Snyder cut, because we already, like, we've seen Snyder with a long leash make a extended DC Comics movie, and that was fucking Batman v Superman. And the reason, you know, and the reason why they started trying to course correct Justice League is because Batman v Superman came out and everybody was like, what the fuck is this movie? And then Warner Brothers is like, oh shit,
did we fuck up? Oh boy.
Yeah.
Should we not have given Snyder this much power in our movies? No, I don't know. He worked so well with us before. I mean, that Batman v Superman was a fucking masterpiece. Sorry. it's a thing for me. But okay, hold on.
Well, you know what? Let's just be glad that he's not doing a Teen Titan, Sean. Sean's a big Teen Titans fan, Mike.
Okay, all right. We're gonna all right, hold on. We're gonna screen share this story. Okay, here we go. So I found this really cool article IGN did. The Snyder Cut Justice League cast reacts Ben Affleck thanks fans. Which is nice of Ben Affleck, of course. So Ben Affleck shared his response to the Justice League Snyder Cut news via Kevin Smith's Fat Man Beyond podcast. That's cool. Mm. So in a video direct message, Affleck says, oh, sorry, let's get the microphone in front of me, says he's very excited that Zach is getting a chance to finally see his vision realized. And thanks the fans for helping make the Snyder Cut release a reality. I love Zach and I love his vision of the film or the movie. And I look forward to everyone getting a chance to see it, Affleck said. And the rest of it, blah, 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 blah. I'm not even going to go into that, but let's stop sharing that. Here's my thing. Now, is this a chance for Snyder to be like, oh, God, they completely fucked up? Because Snyder was essential to the whole movie-making process of Justice League. It wasn't until he just gave
the creation
it,
of that universe.
It was his whole thing, right? It was his whole thing. It wasn't until, I hate to say it because I know I like to bash on him, but there was a family emergency. He had to step away from the film.
Right.
And
his daughter passed away.
Yeah, that's very serious. I get it. And that's where he should be. And he gave it to...
I don't know if he gave it to him. I think Warner Brothers was just like, we got to find somebody.
We got to find somebody. Yeah. And he gave, I'm sorry.
And they tend to poach directors that have, have been fed up with Marvel.
Yeah. He gave it to him. And I'm sorry. Can you
Whedon.
Say Whedon? Joss Whedon. Yeah.
He gave it to Joss Whedon. And Joss Whedon, I guess, looked at it and was like, wow. My name's going to be attached to this.
why did I say yes?
Let's figure out what I can do with this. And then he pieced the movie back together.
Reshoots.
And then the movie came out and he was like, well, there it is. So, yeah. And now fans are all blowing up thinking, oh, the Snyder Cut's going to be so much better. Like, right. Man, no. Like, come on.
Okay, so let me say this, and then I really want to hear your rant, Mike. I really do. But let me just say this really quick. If it makes them happy, okay. If HBO is willing to front the bill on this, because they are, because it's one of the driving reasons people they're trying to sell the Snyder Cut in order to get people to sign up for HBO Max. So cool. And if people are happy with it, all right. Far be it from me to tell you shouldn't enjoy something if you just, you know,
okay,
chocolate and vanilla. What I will say is, don't get your hopes up. Like, you know, go in there with a cautious optimism when you go and take a look at this, because there's no guarantee that what Snyder does is going to blow everybody's mind.
No,
it's not to say that he can't do it, but based off of what we've seen as far as the previous DC stuff, his track record doesn't really lend too much credence to an awesome
new
Snyder Cut.
Right. New. Well, and here's the thing about Snyder. As a visual director, as someone who knows how to put a movie together, fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
The way he sets up shots, the way he paces, it's all great, you know?
You can just watch 300 for like 10 minutes to get that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And here's the thing. Have you guys watched his remake of Dawn of the Dead recently?
No.
It still holds up. It's still an amazing movie.
The one with Ving Rhames?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That was a good one.
Still fucking... And that was like his first movie.
He did that, actually.
Yeah.
Did he do that?
Yeah.
He did.
I'll look that up. I'll look that up.
Snyder, as a writer... Don't do it. And Snyder as someone
don't
that's someone, you know, if you're giving something that is trying to compete with the MCU to somebody, man, you got to give that to somebody that knows how to write that kind of thing, which I think Snyder doesn't. If we were to go back to probably the first conversations that Warner Brothers had about putting together an extended DC universe, it probably went something like this. It probably went, hey, Snyder did 300 and Watchmen, and they're both really amazing. So let's have him put together our Justice League movies, right?
On paper, yeah, that sounds like it would work.
Right, and then Snyder, I'm only guessing here, but Snyder probably came back to them and said, you know, guys, like, we're looking for something tonally different from Marvel, right? Marvel's really family friendly. It's very PG-13. There's like certain places they're not willing to go with their movies. So why don't we make our movies darker? And why don't we be like deconstructive with these superheroes that everybody knows, right? Because, you know, Superman and Batman, we've seen all these movies with them and they're all very inspirational. And like, so why don't we do something a little bit, you know, more adult and grittier, right? But the problem is with that is he totally ruined what may like if you're okay if you're watching Batman v Superman,
which I suggest not to if you're really into DC.
I agree. He took those two characters and just fucking destroyed them, right? Like, okay, so Batman's whole thing is like he goes around with a
not killing people, no guns.
He goes around with some weird cattle prod thing that he heats up. Like, it's like a cattle prod with a bat on the end of it, and mm-hmm. he heats it up, and then he brands people with it, right? So if it like
the hell,
right? So he
it's just so ridiculous. I tried really, really hard not to crack.
And they establish in the beginning of that movie, it's like, okay, either you rat on your gangster friends, or I kill you, right? So yeah. Either he kills the person or he cattle prods them with this bat thing. So that way when they go into prison, the other prisoners know that this person is a narc, and then the prisoners kill this person. And it's like, dude, Batman
what?
Like, doesn't do that. And then with Superman, okay, in Man of Steel, when he's fighting General Zod, it's like 72 9/11s happening.
Yeah, that poor Metropolis.
And it's like Superman must have been responsible for whatever, like 100,000 deaths at least, right? If not like a million people dying in the whatever the down.
I would say it was definitely less than Zod, but he has a body count.
Right.
Yeah, he absolutely has a body count.
His body count is based off of like the disregard. It wasn't in the sense of like he went in there to kill anybody, but his mentality was the threat is bigger than anything else. So
yeah.
It's okay for lives to be lost.
Right. He didn't go out of his way to save anybody. And then, you know,
just shat all over All-Star Superman. Just shat all over it.
Yeah. And just this whole thing where, like, in Batman v Superman, it's like Superman's being kind of a whiny bitch about being a superhero. He's like, I don't want to save people. Meh, meh, meh. And then, like, there's that whole courtroom scene where it blows up, and then Superman is standing there looking at the camera. Not, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, you'd think he would like go around the courtroom and save people and put out the fire and all this stuff, but no, instead he just stares at the camera with a pouty face, right? So that movie comes out, and it kind of like, I would say a good 70% of the audience really
throw something else.
Really, like, yeah, like a lot of the audience hated it, and then there was a few people that were like, oh, this is really awesome, right? So then when Justice League came around, Warner Brothers is like, oh fuck, like maybe people did want this to be more like the Marvel movies, huh, guys? So what do we do, you guys? And so then, yeah, they add levity to Justice League, and then it just does, like, if you were to watch Batman v Superman and then watch Justice League right after that, you'd be like, what is going on with Batman?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, you would. Yeah, just fuck it. Yeah, I'm whatever. Yeah.
Well, but, yeah. Okay, so let me put this out there, and then let me find out what you guys think.
Sure.
So the question is, what director would you like to see take over the DCEU?
Oh God.
And I, God. As far as like trying to like, you know, start building it up again. And you know what? I will say I would like to see Patty Jenkins take the lead on this one. When we got Thor the Dark World, she was the original director for that. And even though she ended up like parting ways with them, they kept a lot of her stuff. So it's just like, we're not going to worry about like rewriting or anything. That we're still going to go with it. We'll still use her stuff as a template. And despite her not being there, it was still a really solid movie. And then she goes, and then she makes Wonder Woman. Everybody is not expecting much out of this movie, and it blows people out of the water. Like, oh my God, this is incredible. This is Wonder Woman, you know?
Right.
And everyone's really excited about Wonder Woman 1984. Like, I honestly think that, you know what? Give her some more projects. Give her some more give her some more of the single superhero movies before they decide to make another Justice League movie so that they can start building an arc from there, you know?
For me, personally, in the perfect world, they would just do a hard reboot on the whole thing.
A retcon, Bob.
You'd have to. You have to.
As much as I like that first Wonder Woman movie, I'd say, hey, go ahead and make a trilogy. You know what I mean? Let's go ahead and just let's go ahead and make this trilogy, because yeah, that first Wonder Woman movie was good. I thought tonally speaking, it's like, yeah, this felt like a Wonder Woman movie should.
Yep.
I don't want to see Ben Affleck as Batman. I'm sorry.
What we need is a Flashpoint then. Kind of restart everything.
Super over Ben Affleck being Batman. I think,
Ben Affleck's super over about being Batman. He's done.
Robert Pattinson.
Let's see what he can do.
I think that might be that's hashing up to be maybe a good movie.
I want to say that that's going to be his breakout movie. And granted, I realize that everyone's just like Twilight, but it's like it's one of those things where it's going to shed that persona.
Sure.
Like it'll be the one thing where it's just like, now we know he can do other stuff outside of just being a sparkly vampire.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, since the Twilight movies, Robert Pattinson, he kind of stuck to indie flicks for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was kind of successfully able to rebrand himself. You know, he's also going to be in Tenet, which is coming out hopefully. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, let's just fucking hard reboot it. If that's the Justice League movie if that's the only Justice League movie that I have to look forward to for what now until whatever 10 years from now, then it's kind of a bummer. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Let's just fucking recast, redo it. Just
start from scratch.
Yeah, man. I don't know.
Sean, what do you think?
All right. Before I lost my shit and started throwing things around my house.
Way to go, Mike.
No, because Mike's absolutely right. I feel exactly how Mike feels about the whole thing. But is this Snyder's chance? Because this whole fucking topic gets me heated.
Well, no. The question is who would you like to see like take over as director?
Yeah. But I'll get to that. But is this Snyder's chance to make the movie better? Be like, oh God, these people didn't like this. No one liked this. So I can do this and this. Because if he's going to get the whole band back together to, I guess, essentially reshoot the film or almost reshoot the film. Fuck, I don't know how much HBO is going to put in for that. I don't know.
I can't be for sure. I think I heard 20 mil. But I can't be.
Yeah, shit. 20 mil is not going to save. 20 mil more is not going to save the rest of that film. Not happening. Okay.
Unless everyone's doing it like a passion project at this point.
No. Jason Momoa is too. Well, I don't know what Jason Momoa is actually doing. Definitely Gal Gadot is way more busy. So she can't just be like, I can't be away from what I got to do for another year and a half.
Guys, Zach, the Fast and the Furious series is coming out.
I might be in that. Yeah. So, yeah. And Ben Affleck's got like rehab.
Basketball movies. And he's got those basketball movies he's got to do. Basketball.
Yeah, whatever. Something. I don't know, man. But I mean, whatever happens, fuck it. If you want to ask a director that can actually do that movie well, see, it's tough, man. Like, you want to look at what Marvel's done with their films, and those guys have worked in advance. They mm-hmm. set up a whole thing to get the whole Marvel MCU to work the way it does.
Yeah,
and it's not even one director, it's many directors getting together, and a lot of Disney getting together, and everyone being on the same page. And everyone being just nice workflow. Everyone's cool. No one, there's no egos. There's no nothing to just hamper the whole film. It's like lightning in a bottle that made the whole MCU basically work the way it does and function the way it does. So to have the whole DCU to be rebooted, you got to have like a bunch of people who are really cool and just sit in a room, chat, and be like, all right, let's see what we can do. Like, oh, we can – a new Batman film. All right, Rob Pattinson's doing it. Is that movie going to be good? You know, like maybe have his director work on get together with whoever's going to be doing some other movie, like the Wonder Woman movie. I don't know, man. You have to make it all work and flow.
So, yeah. So you're up for the idea of just like retconning the entire thing and starting.
Yeah. And keep Snyder away from it. I want to say it's his fault because it is.
Well, let's be honest. Warner Brothers okayed it afterwards. Like, they were essentially the final say, and they're like, yeah, this is good. Let's do it.
And they're the ones that are casting the checks. They're the ones that saw even Superman and went, fucking perfect.
Like,
great.
Like, I feel like everybody might have said something, but the head honcho was there, and they're like, we don't want to piss off the head honcho. So, yeah, it was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. And not it's even kind of that kind of thing. It's like, whatever. It doesn't matter if Superman's killing a gajillion people and everyone's treating him like Jesus. It's still good. People are still going to go into the movies and see it, right? And like, fuck that. No, you can't have that attitude with like movies, man. You just can't. Because someone's going to see it and be like, oh, wow, that was bad. And then they're going to critique the shit out of it. And that's how it happens. That's how Justice League happened.
I'll be honest, you know, since
Batman v Superman happened that way.
Since Dark Knight Rises, which I know is everybody's least favorite Nolan Batman movie.
Yeah.
And granted, I mean, I liked it, but there's things I didn't like about it. But anyways, since then, and I guess whatever, you know, we'll just say in the last, 8 years of Warner Brothers treating their DC movies a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
I've only really liked, I don't know, 2.5 movies out of what they've done. I thought Aquaman was dumb fun. It was just a fun time at the movie theater, but it was nothing too wowed with. I thought
Captain Marvel was good. Captain Marvel was good.
Or Shazam?
Yeah, Shazam.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was good. I that's actually probably my favorite out of all of them.
Yeah. And,
you know, Wonder Woman, you know, sans the third act, which I thought was just real, real silly.
Yeah, it did. I mean,
I liked that too. But everything else, I, you know, I want to know your guys' take on something.
Sure.
Our way.
Because for me, that Joker movie was just a miserable, miserable movie.
It's hard to watch. That first half hour of the Joker movie is hard to watch. But when you start, like, past that, you're like, ooh, oh, this the slow, maddened descent. I'm like, all right, all right. And then when he goes on to Arthur Miller's show, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be bad. This is going to be bad. And it's going to be good, but it's going to be bad. And then, yep, and it turned the way I want it to. And I'm like, if you can get past that first half hour of the movie, like you're fine, but it's a slow, dark burn. And if you can get over that, cool. If not, I mean.
And here's the thing. I thought Joaquin Phoenix did an amazing job, and he deserved his award and everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I don't know. With that movie,
you can't make him the new Joker, though. You can't.
No.
And if you want to spin everything off of the Joker movie, maybe. I don't know. It's going to take a director and some writers, and you can't have Arthur be the Joker anymore because that's not going to work out. But
well,
he's
that's
a great actor, though.
The problem I kept running into is I thought, you know, if this movie was just named, like, Clown, and it had nothing to do with Batman or anything, then I would have been like, okay, this is like a cool movie. But what I kept running into when I was watching it, and I just felt like, man, like when I'm looking at this guy doing his thing, I don't see the Joker, you know, like he's not cracking jokes. He's not like, he's not being clever. He's not really even being like charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. There's just
it's
this
just
weird
sad
disconnect for me where I was just like, how is this guy the Joker? And then, spoiler alert for anybody out there, Well, I won't spoil it, but they do a tie-in to Bruce Wayne at the end, and I was just like, oh, yeah. Come on, you don't have to have that in here. Like, it's not serving any purpose, but whatever.
No, I guess not. They did put that in there, though, and it was weird, but I'm like, it's not like Arthur went over and killed Bruce's parents. No. It was different clown. Definitely probably the same dude that I keep forgetting who.
Oh, Joe Chill.
Is that who killed Bruce's parents?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Thank Joe Chill. All right. It could have been Joe Chill under the clown mask, like real easy in that movie. Like, right. Fine. That's okay. And I can forgive that. Like, that's fine. And I like how it's like Arthur is the catalyst that made like Gotham like just go completely bonkers insane. And I'm like, all right, that's fine.
Yeah. I think it goes back to what you were saying earlier about how they want to deconstruct the characters. They want to try a different approach.
Let's make Thomas Wayne a piece of shit.
But
he was a bit of a piece of shit in that. But I get why he was a piece of shit. But I would be a piece of shit.
But I think the problem is that by trying to deconstruct the characters, you take away the things that made them the unique characters. You know, like imagine if they went and they made a Mr. Freeze movie. You know, no. Mr. Freeze first started off as a joke character, and then
I think you can make a Mr. Freeze movie.
And then he became a sympathetic villain.
Yeah,
right.
One that you can genuinely feel bad for, and you, even though you don't condone what he's doing, you understand it.
Well, that's one of the great many things that Batman the Animated Series did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, why would you want to deconstruct that? Why would you, at that point, decide you want to go in that direction when you have characters who have such unique
artsy and
they have such good properties to them that it's just like. Just make a movie with that. Like, go through the comics. That's your script right there.
Yeah.
See what I mean? You don't necessarily have to follow the comics. You can make original stories, but keep in mind that this character has their unique things about them that make them really. If anything, if we're going off of Batman. Batman has one of the best rogues gallery, hands down.
Oh yeah.
You have a template of what they should do. How would this villain go about doing this? That's your story right there. That's what you can start creating. And then how would Batman stop it? Right. So if anything else, the Batman movies, if they decide to make more Batman movies, it shouldn't be about Batman. It should actually be about the villains. They're the ones that should to shine a little bit before Batman eventually comes in and takes them down.
Well, and that used to always be the model. You know, I mean, definitely with the 90, you know, the 89 and the 90s movies, for better or for worse, you know, the top billed actors were always the villains, and the central, I mean, the characters that drove those movies, I mean, the central conflict was always with the villains, right? It was always, oh, you know, that we get to see what the Joker was before the Joker and why he wants revenge on his old gangsters, even though really you're not supposed to know anything about the Joker before he was the Joker. But anyways, with Batman Returns, right? It's like, okay, we get to see how the Penguin became the Penguin. We get to see how Catwoman became Catwoman. Same with Batman Forever, with Two-Face, with Riddler. You know, Bruce Wayne has always been basically an immovable object. It's always been like, okay, after you know that his parents died and then he trained to be Batman, there's really nothing going on with him other than he just needs to save the day. And that was one of the things that I really loved about Batman Begins, and probably why it's my favorite Batman movie, is like, oh shit, we actually do get to feel for Bruce Wayne. And this is a movie that is about Bruce Wayne, and it's done really well.
Yeah.
Ergo, Batman Begins.
Right. But, you know, one thing that I haven't seen with a Batman movie that I would really love to see is just Batman on the beat. You know what I mean? Like, I'm so fucking tired of having to sit through these, like, villain origin stories. And it's like, dude, can we just get a movie where we have the villains, everybody knows they're the villains, and we just see Batman on the beat in this fully realized, contextualized Gotham City where it's like, oh, hey, maybe you see the Mad Hatter. Maybe you see Scarecrow over here. Maybe you see, you know, these folks just exist already and we don't need to see them.
Well, I think that's one of the issues with these movies is that a lot of the times a large portion of the movie is used to introduce the villain and we have to understand their motives and everything, despite the fact that these characters have been around since like the 1930s. Right. So we kind of already have an idea of who they are. I can't remember what movie did it, but there was a movie that just skipped through an origin. They didn't do an origin. They just kind of jumped right in there and it actually turned out pretty good. I'm really upset that I'm blanking on what movie it was.
Well, like Black Panther, the movie, right? And then also Spider-Man Homecoming. But it's because they explained it in Civil War. So it's like by the time we got to those two movies, it's like, oh shit, we just get to see Spider-Man be Spider-Man.
And how many times do you get to see Uncle Ben die? I mean, we've seen and you would think that, yeah, and Marvel goes, yeah, we can't, we don't, how many times? Yeah, it's two is enough.
Yeah.
I want a movie.
Warner Brothers didn't catch that hint at all.
I want the Uncle Ben Spider-Man movie to come out.
Oh, yeah.
The universe where Peter didn't get bit, it was his Uncle Ben. And then Uncle Ben became Spider-Man.
Let's have an Uncle
Ben. And then lost his nephew.
Let's have an Aunt May movie.
Well, wasn't there a Flashpoint comic where it was like instead of Bruce's parents dying, it was Bruce that died?
Yeah.
And then like his Martha Wayne became
Martha
the Joker.
Martha Wayne was the Joker, and yeah, Tom Wayne was the was
Batman, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see that movie.
That'd be a hard ass movie.
Yeah.
Batman goes, yeah, I use guns. I'm a great martial artist, but I use guns. I kill people.
Not above, you know, spilling time. Some blood, right?
Great. It's easier.
All right. So, yeah.
He's basically
as far
the Punisher. At that
so
point.
just to wrap up this little topic.
God, we can go.
Let's just thumbs up or thumbs down. Sean, Snyder Cut, thumbs up or thumbs down?
I'm gonna say thumbs down. But this is a chance for Zack Snyder to actually do something with that film. I think you're gonna shove it even more up your butt, but you know, whatever.
Okay. Mike, thumbs up or thumbs down?
I'm gonna give it a hard that. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Is because I think people are expecting something akin to like, oh, this is gonna be like Blade Runner, the director's cut, you know. This is what Ridley Scott really wanted Blade Runner to be. I think that's what people are expecting.
Oh, his magnum opus. This is going to be it right here. Oh.
But what people are going to get is something more like the Rogue cut. You know, like, you know, Days of Future Past, the Rogue cut. That's what people are going to get.
Hmm.
And did anyone watch or care about the Rogue cut? No.
No.
And
HBO put all that money down for what?
I'll watch it. I will watch the Snyder Cut because I am genuinely interested in seeing what he would have done with it. But I do also get the impression that it's going to be worse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How many more Spartan nipples can we put in this film?
You know what?
I don't know. It's going to be good.
I don't want to put out the negative energy and all that, but I'm going to go thumbs down.
Yeah.
I can't see, you know, Snyder has his vision and he's already started. Maybe things may have changed between when he left the project and then coming back. But I still have that feeling that maybe in his mind, he had that idea of just like, I wish I could have finished it. And here's how I would have finished it. And it's just kind of like sitting there and it's festering, boiling, just he wants to do this, and very rarely does anybody ever get the chance to go back and to do it, and he's getting that chance. So yeah. He's definitely, even if he realizes that a lot of people won't be happy with it, it's finally finishing his vision. The problem with that is we didn't like his visions beforehand,
right?
So why are we gonna like it now? Then this is the thing that's been making me wonder, like, why are people so excited about this? If this guy already has an idea of how he wants to finish it and we didn't like any of his other stuff, what makes you think this is going to be any better? You brought it up, Mike. There is that possibility of the unknown, of we don't know if it's going to be worse. We don't know if it's going to be better. Because we don't know, there is that possibility. But when you look at somebody's track record of what they've put out within a certain universe, you kind of have an idea of, like, you may not have the 100% answer, but you can put a percentage on that.
Yeah.
You can put it on a percentage of, like, there's an 89% chance that he's going to go with the same direction that he went with all the other movies. And if that's the case, I don't see it doing anything better. And I have to agree with you. I think it's going to be worse than the Whedon cut.
And you know what? I'm just going to throw this out there. Even if we're just talking about the basic story, the basic plot of that Justice League movie, it's kind of already garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but it you're making Justice League the movie. Okay. I don't want to, it's like we spend 2/3 of the movie without Henry Cavill being in it, which I feel is a problem. And then they're wasting their time fighting this villain that no one's even fucking heard of.
Who the fuck was he? You know what? I saw him in the Justice League cartoon.
Right.
And he only showed up once. And he got beat up by Superman and, oh man, what was his name? Captain Atom.
Sure.
That was it. That was his one appearance the entire time. And what's even worse.
Was it Steppenwolf?
Steppenwolf, yeah.
And what was worse about that was that when Captain Atom and Superman were fighting him, they were cracking jokes because they didn't take him seriously. And I was just like, you want me to get excited about this?
This gets back to the inherent problem with the plan that Warner Brothers set up is they're not trying to make good. They're not putting the quality of the movie first. They were at least so focused on, oh, we just need to have a big volume of movies coming out, and we need to
compete.
You know, oh yeah, we're gonna have Justice League 1, 2, and 3, you guys. And it's like, okay, Justice League 2 and 3 were not greenlit, and now we're stuck with just a nothing Justice League movie. And hey, you know what?
Thanks.
I mean, they could have gone with Brainiac, they could have gone with Darkseid, they could have gone with the Legion of Doom.
You know what?
Legion of Doom would have been way hard to do.
For what it got, I didn't want Darkseid. Because Darkseid's way bigger than that.
Well, and you got to save it. And I think they were probably thinking, oh, let's save him for whatever, movie 2 or 3, right?
But I think Brainiac would have been great.
Sure.
That would have been smart.
That would have been a good one for, like, to start off with it.
Yeah.
All right. Last little topic. We have some news about Back to the Future. And no, it's not about the fact that they did a Zoom reunion, because everyone's doing Zoom reunions, and I'm happy that
I mean, thanks for Slam and Sam for putting that out there. I mean, maybe one day. I doubt it though, but maybe one day.
But recently they hit the news because there was an issue with the version of Back to the Future 2 that Netflix put out, and that is a scene that was cropped out. And it was the scene where Marty is looking to get the sports almanac and he thinks he has it. But it turns out that he has I guess the equivalent of a Playboy called Ooh La La.
Yeah.
And he looks at it and he gets upset because he's like, it's not the sports almanac. He just drops it and he tries to go back for the sports almanac. So apparently that was cut out from the Netflix version of it. And I have a theory of what it is, in that when Universal gave them, I don't know, I guess the video file for it, they gave them a video file that was actually for a different country that has different standards when it comes down to censorship. So they had to crop it out. But apparently pitchforks and torches were raised towards Netflix, even though they had nothing to do with it. The original creator went to Universal, said, give them the right one and destroy the one that you gave them. Make no more copies of that. That one's gone forever.
Screen sharing in 3, 2, 1. All right, continue.
Let's see. Back to the Future writer asks Universal to destroy censored version of sequel. So yeah, basically I think I covered all of it.
Yeah. So Bob Gale, excuse me, I'll read the rest. Bob Gale says neither he nor director Robert Zemeckis knew the Netflix stream version existed. Bob Gale is asking fans not to be too hard on Netflix for censored version of Back to the Future Part 2, which was streaming for a short while. Fans of the series were irate when they discovered a tiny portion of the 1989 sequel was changed poorly. It has since been replaced with the standard version. The alteration happened when Marty finds the Ooh La La magazine with the Sports Almanac Discover. Yeah, exactly what Emmanuel said. And it's not the 2 minutes of Marty's dick just being on the film at all.
My God, what version did you guys watch? Did you watch it on Pornhub?
R-rated.
Did you watch it on Pornhub? Be honest with me.
That was the Snyder cut. That was the Snyder cut for that film.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
How fucked up would that be is if it finally came out and every scene in the Snyder cut was just a flopping dong?
That would be a more interesting movie.
And you want to know what? And it'd be like, oh, Zack Snyder made this.
He's a genius.
Big blue floppy donkey dick. Okay. That makes sense. Now.
This is the scene in Clerks 2 that you didn't see.
Yeah. All right. So, well, that's an interesting story.
Well, see, if you don't mind, I'm going to jump into this with a couple thoughts right away, if that's cool.
Absolutely.
Sure. So this is the interesting thing about streaming, right? Because streaming is a relatively new platform, mm-hmm. and they're also appealing to a more global market, right? I would say much more than cable or satellite or whatever. Netflix has gone global, you know, Disney Plus, whatever. It's all across the world, everyone under the same umbrella, more or less. There was a huge uproar also with Disney having bought the streaming rights to The Simpsons and putting The Simpsons on Disney Plus because they took out the episode that featured Michael Jackson. Because at the time, that documentary had just come out where it was like, oh, hey, Michael Jackson and these kids, you know, that are now grown-ups and the whole sex scandal thing. So I don't know if it's still this way, but at least for a while, there was a huge uproar where it was like, hey, why the fuck isn't this Simpsons episode with Michael Jackson? You know, it's like, okay, we're supposed to have the whole entire series of this, but we're missing one of the bigger episodes. Anyways, the interesting thing is I think a lot of entertainment nowadays is tailor-made to a more global market. You know, a great example of that is the Marvel movies tend to kind of skirt around certain issues because they want to appeal to, for example, the Chinese market, right?
Transformers is known for that.
Yep, Transformers as well. But if you go back to, what was it, 1990 or 1989 when Back to the Future 2 was made, it was just a non-issue. Do I agree with it? Absolutely not. I feel like if you're going to watch a movie, hey, you should be watching this movie the way it was meant to be seen. But this is also something that's not new, right? I mean, if they were to show Big Lebowski on Comedy Central, for example, you know, they changed that line. There's that famous scene where Walter's bashing in the dude's car and he's like, this is what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass, right?
Yeah.
And then they changed that to, this is what happens when you meet a stranger in the Alps.
Something, yeah. When you French a stranger in the Alps or something.
Right.
Weird.
Sometimes, though, I laugh specifically because of the censorship, like what they try to come up with and like fill it in. So the line in itself isn't funny. It's the fact that they try to use that line to replace it is what I find hilarious. Totally. So even then, some of the censorship on there is funny, but it's funny for the wrong reasons.
Well, you know, and this is why I definitely make a point of seeing movies in the theater, and I also make a point of I'm still one of those old geezers that still buys Blu-rays. You know, because Because if you were to buy Back to the Future on Blu-ray, you're not going to run into, hopefully, you're not going to run into a cropped out
Ooh La La scene.
Magazine, yeah. I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts?
Okay. Like, the way, now that I keep hearing this and I read the article myself, because that was the article. Sorry, guys. So what I read, what me and Emmanuel tag teamed and read for the audio listeners, that was the whole article. That was it. Literally, that was, there's not much to that article. And I put that up there to make the podcast today more movie centric. And yeah, cause we talk about games a lot, but now that I'm reading it, I'm like, you know what? So what? I'm like, so what? I mean, cause like the Ula, if you've, everyone has watched, I hope everyone's watched Back to the Future 2 at this point. Where Biff got Ooh La La magazine, it doesn't matter. I don't need to know that Marty picked it up in like the year 2021 or wherever, how, what time of the year he came back to or went to for that. I don't care.
1855. It's not that big a deal.
Huh? No, I know it was. No. I know he went back to 1885 or whatever. Or 18, wait, what?
1955.
Yeah, he went back to 1955. In the future, what was it? It was the year
85.
2015, oh, right?
2015, yeah.
It was 2015.
Oh, okay, when did the Cubs win? In real life. In real life.
And, I'm a
when,
real nerd.
Whenever they won, it was the year previous to it.
Yeah, and I didn't get my hoverboard, and I was mad at Robert Zemeckis for not predicting that part.
I think we're all mad that we don't have our hoverboard.
But like, dude, like regardless, like it's not that big of a deal. I didn't need to know where Biff got the Ooh La La, like,
right,
nudie mag. It's not that, who cares?
I agree.
I guess in the, for the movie anyway, the grand scale of the movie is that, yeah, it's really not anything that really required explanation, like how do I put this, it wasn't like a focal point in the movie where it set something up. It was just more so of like a throwaway gag.
Yeah.
There's movies where you want to keep the throwaway gag, and there's the ones that you don't. I think this falls into the category that doesn't. If you want to watch a movie that where there's a throwaway gag, watch a Jackie Chan flick, because there's like really cool flips and moments where he falls down and he gets hurt, but it's not to saw like set anything up. It's just for the purpose of, it's a gag. Like that's it. Like, but it's funny at the very least, you know. Did I guess, let's put it in like a time travel setup. Had Marty not found the Ooh La La at all, really have affected the future in the movie?
No, in fact, it wouldn't have changed a damn thing. But yeah, right. I get why fans would be upset. Like, why did you change this? Why did you put this in here?
Well, it's
like, why did you take it out in this case?
Oh yeah. Why didn't you take it? Why didn't you take it out?
Yeah, purist. Yeah, he's absolutely right.
And you know, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, I kind of fall into that category sometimes of being a movie purist, but I think there's kind of you know, there's a threshold, right? I think it's perfectly justifiable to alter movies for different audiences because people have been doing that for a while.
For different regions.
The only thing that really pisses me off is like, you know, it's like if we're talking Star Wars original trilogy, right? I just kind of wish that they didn't bury the original movies, and then now we're stuck with, whether we like it or not, the 2011 altercations where it's like, fuck, man, like, what if I just want to see the original movie? You know what I mean? Like, there needs to be some way I can at least see it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, there is a way. You got to go to the flea market and find the VHS.
Yeah.
And it's not even like the sales VHS. It's the person who made a copy of it from the original VHS.
Yeah,
it's probably gonna be the only way you're gonna be able to do it this day.
Probably
that original Star Wars movie, which was originally just called Star Wars, it came out in 77, And by 78, George Lucas was already changing shit with it. So to find the original cut of that movie is basically near impossible.
Shame.
Yeah.
All right.
But I know Zemeckis definitely tends to be protective with the movies he's made. That's there. I know that for a while there was a lot of hype about making another Back to the Future movie, and Zemeckis was like, fuck no, you guys can never remake this movie. It's never going to happen.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine you making another. Like,
well, was it making another one or rebooting it?
Rebooting.
Oh yeah, no.
Rebooting.
I've always said I've got no issue if you're gonna continue on with the story of something. Like if you're gonna bring back something that's old, but like 20 years later, 30 years later, or something, that's fine. But I don't need to rewatch something that I saw 20, 30 years ago, especially when it was so good the way it was.
Yeah.
Like there's no, it's not necessary anymore. I would rather just go and buy the Blu-ray of the triple pack and just rewatch it. That's what you guys should do. Re-release it on Blu-ray with all the bells and whistles, any old interview content that you have. Just put it all in there. You really don't have to spend the money to remake it. Just remaster it, send it out. Here's my 15, 20, 25 bucks because it's Blu-ray, or actually like 70 bucks because it's all three movies.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when we got into the 80s especially, we did sort of reach a point, but especially by the 90s where the whole idea of remaking a movie kind of, those movies don't really need to be remade, you know. We entered an era where things started to kind of plateau a little bit more when it came to movie technology. And granted, I mean, there's been leaps and bounds, certainly, right? Digital technology, all this stuff that has happened. But, you know, you look at Back to the Future, those original ones, and you think to yourself, yeah, it, like, this still holds up. There's no reason why this needs to be redone.
Yeah. All right. Well, gentlemen, we've hit the 90-minute mark.
Nice.
Oh, don't sound so sad about it, John. All right.
This got dark. We started talking about Snyder. They just pissed me off. I'm a huge DC fan, and then just whatever the fuck.
Why I threw the Teen Titans note out there.
Yeah, they're my favorite. He's fuck with
huge
them.
Fan. All right. So it's part of the show, Mike, is when we have our final words. We can either promote anything that we're doing, social medias and all that. So if you'd like to go ahead and start us off, where can people follow you, if you want to be followed, all that good stuff.
Sure. Thank you. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show. This is excellent. Anytime you want me back, I'm down to come on. As the E-Man had mentioned before, I'm the vocalist for a band called Frantic Romantic. I mean, if you just type in Frantic Romantic on Spotify or Facebook or Instagram or YouTube, you'll find our music videos, live performances, all kinds of stuff. I think that's about it. I work on a show called Mama Name Me Sheriff. But yeah, you can check that out if you want.
Adult Swim.
Yeah, it's a spinoff of a show called Mr. Pickles, but you can find all that on Hulu. That's it. That's all I got. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you very much, sir. Sean.
Okay, so last week I didn't stream. I was really tired after a lot of this. Some stuff happened around the house, and you know, I just couldn't pull it off. But hopefully, I can stream tomorrow on a Sunday, which is usually out of the norm for me, but I can totally stream maybe a little bit of Final Fantasy.
Which means, ladies and gentlemen, go to his Twitch stream for the stream that he did yesterday.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I keep trying to remind you about this, Sean.
I know. We record Saturdays, and my bad. But just check me out at Vander978 at twitch.tv, and hopefully I'll be getting some of the streaming done. And also, I am going to have to put Emmanuel in a headlock to take the video I edited for Betrayal on House of the Hill. where it's done. First episode's done. We just, it's the two of us are, both of us are really afraid of what Emmanuel likes to call a Steve Carino, and I like to call Virus C. So we have to.
We'll figure something that out.
Yeah. And it has to happen this weekend so we can put it on the YouTube channel. And I hope you dig what was put out, man. What I really worked my blood, sweat, and tears to get that going. And my editing prowess is really towards the end of that video. So
right yeah, on.
Check that out.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening, for watching, either if you're doing it on YouTube or listening to us wherever you get your podcasts. For Sean Vander, Mike Kerosene,
yeah,
and a missing Randy Kings, unfortunately, but he should be back in the very near future. I am the stubborn SOB, Vitamin E Man, reminding everybody that in times of chaos, be kind to each other.